League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello, everyone. Today is Wednesday, February 21st. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Gino. I'm here with Kevin. I'm here with Darren. Please listen to us anyway. You get your podcast, like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook. Give us a like. Give us a share. You know what? Talk to us. Send us some comments. Send us to your friends. We want everybody to get involved with this. Guys, we've got a lot of college hoops going on, a lot to talk about. We got a little NBA, a little NHL. We got some other things going on, maybe a little baseball. Everybody, join us for some talk as we go through. Darren, we got a lot of college hoops going on. In the last week, the number one ranked team has changed three times. It's chaos in college basketball, Darren. What do you got?
Listen, crazy week, as it seems to be every week, guys. We talk about it the same way. It's time to really start honing in on that bubble. But, you know, let's start off with the upsets. And no bigger one than last night with Creighton beating the crap out of UConn, 85-66. Not surprised Creighton won the game, just how easily they won the game. And then you see the stat afterwards. UConn is 0-21 in their last 21 games against ranked opponents on the road. Had no idea of that fact. Wow. And the fact of the matter is that they've won two national championships during that time period. So they just don't seem to win ranked road games during and basically in conference play for the most part. But I thought that was an interesting stat. Creighton shot the lights out, G. I mean, not much more you could do. When they shoot well, they're very dangerous. G?
Real surprised after UConn took care of Marquette Saturday. In a game where most of the time Connecticut was in charge of that game, basically from start to finish. Marquette tried to give them a run a couple of different times, but couldn't even get there. And Marquette, you know, at this point, what are they, the seven at this point? They're number seven in the rankings right now. And then Creighton just goes in and just blows them out yesterday. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, listen, Marquette, Creighton, and UConn are all safe. Okay. These three teams are getting into the tournament. Yep. Marquette has got the Shaka Smart. Good shooting, a little physicality down there. Creighton's got the tall kid, Kalkbrenner, that helps them out with all the other shooters around there. And UConn, when Klingon's playing, Donovan Klingon's 7-2. He's such a matchup nightmare. And they have the shooters. All three of these teams are really complete. The rest of the Big East is basically the same. You take out DePaul and you take out Georgetown at the bottom. And every other team can beat any other team on any given night. I mean, Villanova's on the bubble. St. John's beat him twice. St. John's isn't on the bubble. But then Villanova blows out Seton Hall by 26. Everything's all over the place in that conference. And we'll get a little deeper into it. Probably the team of the week so far has been Oklahoma State. They not only did they win tonight, they beat Cincinnati tonight on the road, which is a bad loss for Cincinnati. But they also beat BYU. So, I mean, they gave two really good ranked teams trouble. I think BYU's safe, but Cincinnati is definitely a bubble squad, and I thought that was a little bit of a strange one. Iowa.
I mean,
I'm sorry, Kev.
We can go into it, but you're looking. I think there are eight very safe Big 12 teams right now, maybe nine.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to go through it though in a minute.
Cincy, is really need some wins here.
No, I'm going to go through it, because there's a few things to touch on. The LSU-South Carolina game was probably the ugliest game of the weekend, Kev. Up 16 in the second half at home. You don't expect it, especially when your defense is as good as their defense is. But LSU, all of a sudden, they've got athletes, and when they start hitting shots, anything can happen, and that's kind of what happened down the stretch.
Yeah, after coming off, I mean, not expecting them to beat Auburn on the road, but when they lose by 40 – you have to come home and beat LSU, especially when you're up 16. Just a terrible, terrible, worst loss of the year so far for South Carolina.
I think by far. Then Ohio State beats Purdue, 73-69. Diebler's first win as he takes over for Holtzman. But it was, they kind of went in that game the whole way. And Purdue, we always know the issues with Purdue. Purdue's always going to have a problem when their three-point shooters aren't hitting on a consistent basis, because you have the big guy. If you can collapse on him, and Ohio State's got enough bodies to at least bang around with him a little bit. If the three-point shooters aren't hitting, they're a susceptible team. We saw it against Fairleigh Dickinson last year, a team that shouldn't have been in the tournament because Merrimack should have won that tournament, but they didn't get in. But you have that. We talked about the Creighton one. Iowa, you know, beat Wisconsin. Again, Wisconsin, and all the numbers say that they're a very safe squad, but they've lost four out of six, I'm sorry, like that. Five out of seven now, I'm sorry. They've really struggled down the stretch. And Iowa's had to put together a couple of nice wins in a row. Kev's looking like Fran McCaffrey getting the job done over at Iowa, keeping him. He's got another son on the team, or maybe two. I'm not even sure. McCaffrey's playing, Kev.
He's Irish. He's got 12 kids. He's got 12 sons to get through Iowa.
Another team, Florida Atlantic. They lost to USF the other day. Now everybody thinks Florida Atlantic's safe. Their numbers are good. But at the same time, South Florida was up 25 in that game, held on, won by four, up 25 in the second half. It wasn't like it was like an early burst, Kev.
I know the committee doesn't look at conference standings, but I do, and I think you guys probably take into account maybe a little bit more than they do. You know, Florida Atlantic is only third in the American.
Yeah, they are.
USF and Charlotte are both ahead of them in the American.
And South Florida's got a net of 92. And Charlotte's got a net of over 100, but I don't love the net, and we'll get more into that in a minute. BYU beat Baylor. I mean, so we had the upsets all over the place, not as much as we've had usually over the last couple of weeks, but we still had a decent amount of them that stood out. So when I go through, these are the teams that I put in as the teams that I think are locks. Okay, and we can add to it, subtract from it. UConn, Creighton, Marquette. I put all three as locks. Any disagreements on those?
Nope.
No.
Houston, Kansas, Baylor, Iowa State, Texas Tech, BYU. Any disagreements on any of those?
No.
Purdue, no. Illinois. Any disagreement, even though they lost tonight? Any disagreement on either one of those?
Not at all.
No. North Carolina, Duke. Any disagreement on either one of those two?
Nope.
No.
Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, Kentucky, Florida. Any disagreements on those five?
Nope.
Arizona, any disagreement there?
No.
San Diego State, any disagreement there?
No.
No.
St. Mary's, any disagreement there?
No.
No.
Dayton, any disagreement there?
Nope.
So those are the ones I call
luck. Dayton is a good team. The conference is okay. They're going to have to win their tournament to get in, though.
No,
I don't know if they do. No. See? I think they can get to the final and be fine.
I think they need. They've already got 21 wins. As long as you don't collapse here, if they're sitting there, I'm not sure how many games they have left. I mean, if they don't go 0-for, or 1-for whatever they've got left, I think they're fine.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think the schedule is brutal for them either down the stretch.
Yeah.
All right. So let me go bubble. Just ACC bubble. Virginia 20-7. 11-5 in conference. Next game is home to UN North Carolina. Net of 48, BPI of 45.
I have them in.
I have them currently in. I have them bubble in, but I still have them as a bubble. I don't have them as a lock. I don't know how you guys feel. They lost by – they got blown out bubble. Dramatically by Vatek. But just
– that was a terrible loss. Trying to remember. Who was their – didn't they beat somebody good?
They beat Wake the week before, 49, the game 49-47, where they were 1-for-11 from the line and still won.
They beat Clemson. They beat Clemson. I was reading ESPN's bubble watch, and they've got Clemson as a lock.
I don't have him as a lock.
I'm on the bubble. I've got Virginia ahead of Clemson right now.
Now I'm giving you the order I have them, okay? Yep. So I have Virginia next Wake. 17-9. They play Duke next. They're 9-6 in conference. Net 26. BPI 22. The numbers help them more than the team does.
I do not have Wake currently in.
Gotcha. The next team is Clemson. 17-8. 7-7. Next game is at Georgia Tech, and they have Florida State also this week. Net 28. BPI 27.
I have them currently in.
And then the last team in the ACC that I think is fighting is Pitt. They got blown out by 30 last night. This is what this net does. Wake's leaving their starters in because they need the 30-point win. They jumped up 16 spots yesterday to get to 26. Pitt 17-9, 8-7. Their next game's home against Vatek. Net 56, BPI 40. I don't have them in either. I'm just saying that those are the teams I'm looking at.
But Vatek is a chance for a good, solid win.
Yep, and Vatek's a quad one win on the road. Yep. At home, it's a two.
On the road, yeah.
On the road, it's a one, but it's at home, so it's a two. But NC State and Vatek still fighting to try to get somewhere. Vatek has a net of 52, BPI at 37, so they're not completely out of it. Then we go to the AAC real quick. Florida Atlantic, 20-6, 10-3 in conference. Net is 33, BPI is 30. I have them in, but I don't have them as a lock.
I have them in also. Not a lock, same as you. Again, they can't lose out. I think they need a couple more wins here and at least get, you know, one or two wins in their conference tournament.
Yeah, they have SMU, which is a sneaky team that none of us have ever talked about this weekend, and they have Memphis also on the road at Memphis. That's what they have coming up.
You might get to them, but I think SMU is the only other team in that conference that even sniffs the bubble.
Well, I have South Florida on it, but only because of their record. I can't not. They're 19-5, 12-1. They're 92.
They're computer.
I have SAU in, and I have South Florida in on the bubble.
I mean, their computer numbers are so atrocious. And I know we have problems with the net, but their net is terrible.
Yeah, their net's 92 as of today. They have SMU at home this week, which would improve that net dramatically if they win. And SMU is the other team, 19-7, 10-3. But this week they go visit Florida Atlantic and then South Florida. This is the weekend for SMU.
Big week for SMU, yep.
They have to at least split to stay on the bubble, in my opinion. If they lose both, I think they fall off. Then we get to the A-10. Really, Richmond's numbers aren't good enough. Neither are Loyola's or George Mason. So I think it's just really just Dayton. I don't know if you guys have anybody else on the bubble there.
No.
I don't.
Big 12. TCU, 18-8, 7-6. They have Cincinnati coming up at home this weekend. Net 37, BPI 29. I have them in currently. I think they lost a heartbreaker last night to Texas Tech. I mean, great game. That conference every night is a great game. I swear to Christ.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Darren, Big 12, right? You have Houston, Kansas, Iowa State, Baylor, Texas Tech, BYU, Oklahoma.
I don't have Oklahoma as a lock.
Okay, BYU you have as a lock, though.
I do have BYU as a lock. I don't have Oklahoma. Okay. I'm going to explain why in a minute.
Right. So you've got the six locks.
I have the six locks. I have TCU in.
I have TCU right now safely in.
Yep. For me, the next team is Oklahoma. I'm going to mention them. 18-8, 6-7. Next two games are at Oklahoma State, at Iowa State. These are not easy games. If this team falls to 6-9 in conference, even with a net of 40 and a BPI of 33, are they a lock? They've been ranked most of the year.
Right now,
I think they're still in.
I have TCU and Oklahoma in right now, not on the bubble, in.
Okay. I don't have them in as locks yet. I have them in. I have them both in too, Gino. I also have Texas in. I just have these teams as bubble ins. I don't have them as in. You know what I mean?
And that's my in bubble team with them is Texas.
Well, Texas now, 17-9, 6-7. Mm-hmm. Now, they go to Kansas, and then they go to Texas Tech their next two. Another team that can fall to 6-9 in conference. Their numbers are great, 38-23 with the net and BPI respectively. But there's another team that could fall off.
But this Big 12 is just brutal.
I mean, someone's going to get in at 7-11 in conference, dude. Someone's going to get in at 7-11.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. Cincinnati's loss tonight, I think, hurts them because it was a home loss to Oklahoma State. And then they visit TCU this weekend. Their numbers are good, but they're 16-10 now. And their net and BPI are both going to drop off the number I have off this loss. I don't have anybody else on the bubble. I don't have Kansas State on the bubble or anything like that. Those are the teams. But I don't have Cincinnati in. I have the rest of them all in.
And UCF's fallen off the bubble, too.
UCF, yeah. They had a loss also to West Virginia this week. That hurts them big time.
Yep.
So when we look at it now, Texas and Oklahoma, either or both of those teams could fall, come crashing. They could come crashing down. They could both be 6-9 going into next weekend's games, guys. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
The Big East is the most intriguing one to me because it's hard to know what you're doing. Right now, Xavier leads Providence by, I think it's one right now, with about 13 minutes to go. But when you look at it, we have the three locks. Seton Hall, 17-9, 10-5 in conference, net of 64, BPI of 70. I do not have them in.
No, I don't either.
So I don't have them in, but between them and Butler, and I have Butler in at the moment, between them and Butler, there are not many differences.
Well, so, I have Providence and Nova in right now, and Nova's scary. One of the last teams in. Providence is 17-9, 8-7. Now, their next two games, they're playing Xavier tonight on the road, and they're down, and then they go to Marquette, net 60, BPI 46. Villanova, it's all because of the numbers that I have them in. 15-11, 8-7, net of 34, BPI of 24.
Yeah, I don't have either one of them in, Darren.
And then Butler, net of 61, BPI of 72. They're 16-11, 7-9 in conference. And their next game's at the Hall. So all these teams have beaten each other up so badly. I mean, Xavier's only 13-12, but they can find their way in. Their numbers are better than everybody else's.
So at this moment, I only have four Big East teams in, and you have what, six?
I have four. I have five. I have Providence and Nova. Nova's my last team in, and only because of their numbers, but yes.
Okay.
So Dayton did lose to George Mason.
Okay, so that hurts Dayton's chances. George Mason's a good team, but they're not a great team. They're 18-10 on the year, I believe. So then we get to the Big Ten, right? We have we had the two that we called locks, even though Illinois lost tonight. We have Wisconsin, 18-9, 10-6, net 21, BPI 20. I have them in, even though they've been slumping.
Yeah, I have them in. Still safely in, but not lock city. You know, it's at borderline. Well,
they're gonna have to play better and avoid a first round loss in the tournament, in my opinion. Yep. That's what it comes down to.
They can't afford any bad losses on the resume anymore.
Exactly. Northwestern 18-8, 9-6. Play Michigan next. Net 57, BPI 42.
I have them in.
They're like my fifth Big Ten team in.
I have them in too. I not by a ton, but I have them in. I have six teams in from this conference. Michigan State, 17-10, 9-7 in conference. They play Ohio State next. Net 24, BPI 18. Their numbers are ridiculously great. Yeah. It's like Gonzaga. I don't get it, but their computer numbers look great. I have them in. You guys have Michigan State. And then Nebraska, the last one. And they're blowing out Indiana right now. 18-8, 8-7. Net 47, BPI 50.
Tonight's one of those games that they're blowing out a team that they really need a blowout just to show their dominance over
on the road, by the way. They need a road win.
Nebraska is one of my last in, so.
Okay, so we're all in agreement there. This is the conference that we don't agree with. Ivy, Princeton, 19-3, 7-2, net 53, BPI 52.
I still don't have them in.
I don't either, but I have them really close. How about that? And then Cornell is right there too. 19-4, 8-1.
Here's my problem. I think if they were leading the Ivy with one less loss and they wound up losing somewhere along the way, I just think losing again in the Ivy League tournament would just be tough to overcome.
Well, here's the thing. If they beat Cornell, it's gonna be one of the top teams. If they beat Cornell, they'll get the one seed. They'll be 8-2 and they should get the one. So they won't have to play Yale or Cornell until the final, most likely. It's only a four-team tournament.
Yeah.
It's the Ivy.
They'll play the four, yep.
Yeah, so it's interesting. But, yeah, I only have one in two, but I find Princeton intriguing.
No doubt.
Now, here's the one that we had as Lock City that's not anymore, Missouri Valley. Indiana State is now 22-5, BPI 47, net 31, and Drake also 22-5. Both 13-3 in conference. They've split also. Net 44, BPI 53. So the numbers aren't dramatically different anymore. Any chance of both teams getting in, guys?
No.
Yes.
I say yes, but I have them both in right now.
But I think more than likely it would have to be Drake beating Indiana State in the conference finals.
I think they both have to win out the rest of the regular season and make it to the final.
Yep.
For this and play an epic game in the final for this to be something that gets discussed. Because we all know what happens with that Arch Madness tournament the week early, guys.
Oh.
It's a week early. It's usually a great tournament, but then everything magical happens in between. It gets forgotten about. Yep. So they're going to have to play an epic final, and they're going to have to both win out all the way through, I think.
Yep.
For this to happen.
Do they play again, or do they already done with each other?
They split.
Oh, they split. Okay.
They split. Mountain West. Okay, only have San Diego State as a lock. Utah State, 22-5, 10-4. Beat San Diego State last night in a really good game, by the way. Net 30, BPI 61.
Here's where I hate the computer numbers. I have them in. Easy.
I have them in, too, but the BPI is ugly, right?
I have them in also.
The BPI vastly underrates Mountain West.
Always does. Always has, always will.
Yep.
But then you watch the tournament in the first round, and usually the Mountain West loses. So maybe the BPI isn't that far off. San Diego State made it to the final last year. Everybody else lost in the first round. Right. Then we have Boise State, 18-8, 9-4 in conference, net 35, BPI 54.
I have them in, but they're one of my last teams in there.
Same thing with me.
I have them in also. Nevada, 21-6, 8-5, net 43, BPI 63.
They're like one of my first teams out.
I have them out also.
I have them in.
Okay. New Mexico, 20-6, 8-5 in conference, net 23, BPI 44.
In.
In.
Me too. Colorado State, 20-6, 8-5, net 25, BPI 43.
In.
I have them in too.
In, and that's one of my three locks from the Mountain West.
So you have them as a lock, okay?
I have Utah State and Colorado State as locks right now.
I kind of have the four of them. I've got Utah State, New Mexico, San Diego State, and Colorado State.
I have them all in. I only played San Diego State the lock just because they're going to beat each other up.
And I have six from the Mountain West in right now.
I have five. I have Nevada just out.
Yep.
Pac-12, which used to be the dominant conference in the West, it isn't anymore. Arizona's the lock. I have Washington State in at 20-6, 11-4, net 32, BPI 38.
They're playing so well. I think right now they're in.
They're a good squad. And then, Colorado, 17-9, 8-7. They play have a net of 42, a BPI of 64.
Not in yet.
So I don't have them in, but I do have Utah in as the third team out of that conference.
I have Colorado over Utah, but I get it. I get their numbers are better. Their computer numbers are better, Utah's.
So down the stretch here, if Utah, Colorado, and the other team that I have outside looking in is Oregon, between those three, I think one of those three is going to wind up getting in from what they do down the stretch here.
Well, Utah plays at Colorado this weekend. It's a big game. Yeah. Put it that way. That's a big one.
I know you're dealing with ties and all, but you know, to me, the sixth or seventh place team in the Pac-12 that can only go too deep does not deserve to go in.
Now, listen, I get it. I get it. Just you're going with the reputation of the Pac-12, but do they get a third or do they just get two?
I don't care about reputation. They're bad this year.
It is. They've been bad a lot. UCLA's not up and USC's not up. This conference is not good. Yep. And now they're both gone. Everybody's gone, really.
Kevin, you only have two from the Pac-10?
I've only got two, yeah.
I have three.
Yeah, I have three also. Okay.
But now we get to the biggie, Kev, the SEC. I went in alphabetical order.
I know you did.
South Carolina, 21-5, 9-4 in conference, net 58, BPI 66.
They're in, damn it.
I have them in.
They're less of a lock than they were about a week ago.
I don't have them locked, but I have them in.
You went through five locks in that conference. I think there's six locks, and I think they're the sixth.
No, I get it. I can see why. The computer numbers would argue with you because of the way South Carolina scheduled their early season games. The only tough team they played was really Clemson. And as it ends up being, they played Grand Canyon. You know, whose net numbers and BPI numbers are pretty good, by the way. We'll get into that in a second. Ole Miss, 19.
And to me, you know, how can you have net ratings like that when you've beaten at Tennessee, when you've beaten Kentucky?
I agree with you.
When your worst loss is probably LSU or Georgia.
Yep. By a point.
How is that a 50s that ranking?
I don't see it, because the fact of the matter is, Kev, I'll repeat this again because it's crazy. 21-5 out of the SEC shouldn't give you numbers to get in. Then that's a joke. This is what happens when computer nerds control who gets in.
Yep.
Ole Miss, 19-6, 6-6 in conference, playing Mississippi State right now, actually. Mississippi State was up on them early. Net 67, BPI 76. I do not have them in.
I have them in. And again, that's probably my SEC bias, but I have them in.
So I have both of them, and I have Texas A&M all in, all right on the bubble, but in at the moment. Yep. So I actually I have 9 from the SEC right now.
I have the 9 there too also.
I'm an 8. I have Mississippi State in. 17-8, 6-6. Playing Ole Miss right now, net 41, BPI 34. Their numbers are a little stronger than the last two teams I mentioned. And I have Texas A&M out. 3 losses in a row, including 2 bad ones.
I know.
I mean, they lost at home this weekend, you know, to Arkansas. You can't lose like that. And now, I'm just saying, upcoming, they're at Tennessee next, who they beat a couple weeks ago. Tennessee might be – I mean, if Tennessee beats them, this team falls to 15-12. I can't put them – I don't have them in. And they're a good team.
They could fall out, yeah, no doubt.
Net 50, BPI 35, though. Numbers are decent. And then the last conference is Gonzaga and West Coast. Gonzaga's net 22, BPI 19. They're 20-6, 10-2. I have them in. I don't want them in.
I have them in also. At the moment, I have them in.
And then San Francisco, 21-7, 10-3, net 59, BPI 56.
I have them out.
I have them out too.
I have them out also.
Okay, so that's just the going through the bubble watch. Now, I guess the one bid leagues, I mean, we know all those teams. The teams that could be bubble busters are McNeese State. They're 23-3, 12-1 in conference, net 51, BPI 43. Grand Canyon, 24-2, 14-1, net 45, BPI 65.
Darren, I think that's your best case for the bubble buster is Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon loses in the finals by 2. That I think is the one. That's where the bubble buster is.
I think McNeese is alive and well. I think McNeese is much more alive than you give him credit for. And I also think that James Madison has such a. They and App State are both 22 and well, App State's 22-5. They're 24-3, but the net for James Madison is 55.
Yeah,
if that continues to improve, that's another team that could be. I don't think App State can do it, but I think James Madison can. So those were the bubble busters.
And I had Samford until they lost their last one.
Yep. High Point, Samford, teams like that are falling out. The MVC could steal a second bid if both teams play well. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's really where it sits right now. Everybody else to me is a one bid league. It's not that crazy. Any other thoughts on college hoops, guys?
Let's just touch on Lefty.
Yeah, absolutely. Lefty Drizel, 92 years old. Only guy to ever win 100 games at 4 different schools. You know, I mean, it's not something that happens easily. He was
Davidson, Maryland, James Madison, yep. Georgia State.
Yep. Also invented Midnight Madness. He was the guy. And it wasn't really Midnight Madness back then. What he did was have the team run a mile at midnight in 1971, year of our birth, Jake. So it might have been my birthday for all we know.
I was the first
guy to do Midnight Madness was Lefty.
I remember it well.
Kev was two. Me and G were in the crib. But fact of the matter is that Lefty, you know, did a lot of great things. Coached the great Len Bias, probably the best talent we never got to see play at the next level. He won everywhere he went. Yeah. Be perfectly honest with you, he won everywhere he won. Great coach.
He was the coach of the year 9 years.
Yep.
In a era where Dean Smith and Bobby Knight and that whole group of coaches were still there, he won coach of the year 9 times. So hell of a career, man.
Yep.
Great career, great coach. 92 years old. Rest in peace, Lefty. I think that there was a brawl last night between Texas Commerce and Incarnate Word.
Yeah,
they love it when their religious school gets involved. In the handshake line, what was that?
Eight suspensions.
Eight suspensions. The brawl took over a minute. There was a lot of punches thrown, a little bit hectic and crazy. Not something that you want to see. People should be able to conduct themselves in the handshake line. Enough of the crap. And that's all I got for college hoops, Jake.
Again,
all right,
just real quick, yeah, the women's. Caitlin Clark set the record. How stupid are they, women's college basketball in general, to not have the game available on something other than Peacock? If you want to grow the women's game that everybody's so hyped for, as a casual fan, is anybody subscribing to Peacock to watch Caitlin Clark break the record? If the game was on ESPN, and like I said, no NHL, no NBA, there were no good men's games on. If you're the casual fan, you flip around, oh, that's right. This is a game that Caitlin's supposed to be breaking the record, maybe. Don't you stop for 5 minutes to watch it?
I agree with you, Kev. I thought it's the most asinine thing of all time.
And to be on Peacock? Come on. Yeah, man. The only reason anybody bought Peacock was to get the playoff game, and I'm sure they canceled it right away because it was 1 month. All right, we gotta get to watch the playoff game. All right, we're done. No more of that. What did they get? 2 subscribers last week to watch her break.
Yeah, both living in the state of Iowa. That was it.
That was ridiculous.
Well, just a couple of the quick women's college basketball points. And I know Caitlin Clark broke the record. She's amazing. This is not derogatory toward her, but the actual sport itself. Stop comparing her to Pistol Pete. Just stop. Pistol Pete played 86 games. Okay, she's played 129. So he's played 50%. She's played 50% more games than he did. He had no three-point shot.
No 3-point shot.
And he went up against men. I'm sorry. The people that come out and say Caitlin Clark can play in the NBA and score 10 points a game, she wouldn't get a shot off. And it's not meant to insult her. She's going to be awesome in the WNBA, and I hope she has an amazing career. They're two different sports.
The only way she could get 10 points in an NBA game is if she played in the NBA All-Star game.
Yeah. She'd probably score 20. We'll get to that next.
We can get a look into that game.
I have one other point before we get into it. D2, Francis Marion College, girl named Lauren Taylor, 34 points, 44 rebounds in a regulation game.
Yeah. Wow.
44 boards. It's freaking impressive. Nobody talks about it, but I don't care what level you're playing at. You get 44 rebounds 44 in a 40-minute game, good for you. That's all I had on college basketball. I just get mad at the Pistol Pete stuff. They're different sports. Let's idolize Caitlin Clark for what she does.
Was it last year or 2 years ago, the Detroit Mercy kid?
Yeah, Mike Davis's kid. Mike Davis.
They were looking for one extra game so you could try. He played 150 games.
Yeah, Pete played 86 games. 86. Guy did 86 games out of 3-point line. I mean, listen, we didn't see him play. I'm not going to sit there and pretend that we know what Pistol Pete was all about. But we've seen the highlights and we know the lore. And why the hell were we cheapen it? Just let's celebrate Caitlin Clark for what Caitlin Clark is, which is an unbelievably talented, phenomenal women's basketball player.
Yep.
That's what she is, and she's great. She's just great at it. Back to you, Jake.
All right. So Kev gave us the lead into the next point, which is a little NBA. They had their all-star game over the weekend. The East beat the West 211 to 186. This was completely unwatchable. It was basically just guys chucking up shots from wherever they wanted. Forget about defense. I know in the past they played some make-believe defense. This wasn't even make-believe defense. There were exactly 3 fouls called in the whole game. This was just atrocious. I don't know what Adam Silver and that group needs to do, but this is just ridiculous. And apparently there is a story out that Larry Bird talked to a lot of these all-stars the night before and told them to actually put a game on the next day. And that's what they did. And that's just ridiculous and atrocious. Who would like to have a couple of comments?
Lead the way, Kev. I'll go last.
You know, I don't expect NBA playoff type of atmosphere. I mean, don't get me wrong. But can we have a little bit of pride? At least pretend you're playing defense. I mean, I'm not even going back, to the Bird Jordan days. 10 years ago, Kobe Bryant even. You think Kobe Bryant, with his competitiveness, would let this crap happen that happened on Sunday night. It was embarrassing. I mean, for the Eastern Conference to come down 97 three-pointers for the Eastern Conference, 71 for the West. 160 three-pointers and 40. They shot more threes in the three-point contest.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I mean, that's not basketball. 211 to 186. I tell you, between that, the NHL, you know, they're trying stuff with the 3-on-3 to try to get a little interest. Though the football was smart. They did away with their game because they know nobody was playing anyway. You know, the flag football at least gives them a little something different. The only All-Star game that really does anything is Major League Baseball, because these pitchers are out there. They know they're throwing one inning. They're going to give it their all to throw the inning. You know, that's the only problem with the Major League All-Star game is that by the 7th, 8th, 9th innings, you've got the one player ref from the Pittsburgh Pirates out there who we don't need to see, but he's in there in the key spot of the game. But in general, these All-Star games have become just unwatchable. Darren.
Yeah.
Listen, you go back. I mean, Adam Silver's a joke of a commissioner. They all rip Stern. Adam Silver wants to be the guy's best friends. And this is what happens when you let the players control the freaking league. It's an absolute joke. Just go back. I'm not going to do all of them. Okay, let's go back. 1986, okay, the game was 139-132. High scoring, whatever, you know. You go back to 1994, 127-118. You had a couple, you know. They had 111-110 in 2010 where Iverson won it. But you had like 135-120 in 2002, stuff like that. But since Silver has taken over, okay, 2014 on, 163-155, 163-158, 196-173, 192-182, 148-145. There must have been water slipping through the surface of the court.
I guess defense played that.
178-164, 157-155, 170-155, 163-160, 184-175, and of course, 211-186. This isn't basketball. I'm not saying that we want anyone to get hurt. I'm not saying that we want anyone to dive on the ball for the loose ball or anything like that. But show a little integrity. Now it's just, this is a game now designed for 12-year-old kids. This is what it becomes. And you know what? You get to the playoffs and stuff like that, and people don't even recognize the sport as teams try to play half court and lock it down a little bit. It's a disgrace. The NBA is really, you know how I feel about it. I've always talked about it. And I used to love the NBA. I mean, we were all in on it. We watched the draft every year. We were always in on every single moment. I had season tickets to the Knicks and the Nets at points in my life. You know, it's a travesty. They make the sport unwatchable. I'm not saying it has to be a defensive struggle, but I need defense in the sport. I just don't need it to be guys that three and just line up at the 3-point line and shoot it. It's just disgusting. I hate this. I hate anything to do with this type of thing.
Yep.
All right.
Back to you, G.
So we'll move to a little. Yep. Good.
NBA points. You know, we got to talk Nets.
Oh, they fire Jacques.
They fire Jacques Vaughn. Kevin Ollie gets promoted. At what point does Sean Marks start to take some heat?
Yeah, it's going to have to happen at some point, Kev. By the way, is that the third time that Vaughn has been fired by the Nets? Or the second?
Second.
I think it's a second.
Okay.
So Marks, he fires Tony Brown, I believe, then brings in Kenny Atkinson. But Kyrie
should have never been fired. Kenny Atkinson should have never been fired. He did a good job with a bad team.
So they fired him. Jacques Vaughn finished the season 10 games. And then they said, okay, we've got to bring in Steve Nash. Then they fired Steve Nash and Jacques Vaughn got promoted again. And then they fire him and bring in Kevin Ollie. I mean, that's four or five different coaches that Sean Marks has fired. How many GMs got a chance to fire four different coaches before the GM is held accountable for not doing what he needs to do?
The fact of the matter is because he's a Popovich guy and they protect him like he's some sort of genius. Like Pop did so much without Duncan and he did so much without all the other stars he's had.
Yeah, what's Pop done in the last 5 years since Duncan retired, since, you know, Kawhi left, since Ginobili retired, Parker retired?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But he's the greatest. Just ask him. He'll tell you. He's the greatest.
Yep.
I don't know. The NBA is listen, you know, the Knicks are playing well. Hopefully, I mean, hopefully they get it back into gear when they get back with the injuries get solved and everything like that. But right now, the last thing I seen on the NBA had got left such a sour taste in my mouth. I'm not exactly excited about it.
Yeah, just on the Knicks real quick. I mean, the big problem with their losing streak is that they made the trade for depth to bring in Bogdanovich and Burks. And all of a sudden, with all the injuries, these guys are now thrust into bigger minutes, bigger roles than they ever expected. They really didn't have any practice time. They didn't have any time to develop any chemistry with the team. And it was just sort of, you know, all hands on deck type of thing where they don't know anybody. They don't know any plays. They don't know any sets. They don't know Tibbs' system. Hopefully, you know, I'm not sure about the rules are, but hopefully with the All-Star break here, hopefully they've got a chance to get back together, get some practice time, and try to figure out what everybody's role is, because they're still going to be without a couple of key guys come out of the All-Star break.
Yeah. And we still don't know what, if Randall's coming back at this point. I know there was a couple of things out today that he doesn't know if it's going to be season ending or not. So we're going to have to keep an eye on that right now.
Yep.
All right. Moving over to a little NHL. We had the Winter Classic this weekend at MetLife. New Jersey beat Philly 6-3 in the first game, and the Rangers beat Dallas 6-5 in the second game. The other little note, I'll give you guys the mic, but the other little note that came out was that it was announced that the Islanders and UBS would host the 2026 All-Star game. So that came out during the game. So that should be little fun times in a couple of years. New arena, they usually get the honors of hosting one of those next couple of games. So, Kev, want to talk to me about the Islanders?
God, can they ever protect a third period lead? Can they kill a penalty? I watched that game. I was watching that third period against the Rangers, and I thought they had the game. And then, you know, the hook on Barzal, I thought it was a little ticky-tack. Mayfield, I've seen a lot worse, not called the last 2 minutes of the game. But, you know, it's the outdoor classic. We got to make sure the Rangers win the game, so let's give them the power plays. And then Dobson just with an absolute terrible, terrible turnover in overtime, and they wound up losing the game. Then they come back and against Pittsburgh the other night. You know, they were up 2 goals and give up 2 more goals in the third period. You know, whether it was Lambert earlier this year, whether it's been Roy now, the Islanders just can't. The Islanders go into the third period with a 2 or 3 goal lead. I chalk it up as a loss. I really do, because they've shown that time and time again this year. It's just been atrocious. This defensive effort, the penalty kill. I mean, it's worse than league. I mean, they're giving up 30% of the power play. I mean, just awful.
Yet they're fourth in the league in the shorthanded goal. So somebody scores every time they're on the power play against the Islanders. So here's the question you brought up last week. You're 4 points out of the playoffs. Are you buying or are you selling?
I'm a seller. I said it last week when I went through the Islanders thing. They are an older middling team. Might as well see what you get for any of these pieces. They've got some pieces out there that maybe, you know, I don't care if it's 6th round picks at this point. You got to do something to shake this team up, and they're too old. Time to get rid of some of these.
Gee, you agree, disagree? There.
Yeah, I mean, I think they need to be in a position that they're making the playoffs to be buyers. Other than that, I think they just need to be sellers. If they're on the outside looking in, which they are at the moment, I'm starting to agree with Kev now.
Do you say anything now between now and March 8th that would make you say, oh, this is a team that's going to go on a 7 or 8 game unbeaten streak or, you know, point streak to get back into the race?
Well, I mean, maybe, but the big thing is, and we've seen this all the time with hockey, if you think you're going to make the playoffs, you never know. The goalie gets hot and all of a sudden you win 2 rounds. I mean, you know, to me, I think that's, you know, no, I know what you're saying, Kev, but to me, I think that's what it is.
But this is so similar to the same Islander team that was battling Tampa Bay in the semifinals of the Stanley Cups. And, you know, the window's closed. Time to cut bait. Time to move on.
You may be correct, Kev. You may be correct.
Well, just a couple of points on the game. And one of the things I love about hockey, you know, so you get an early goal for the Rangers. Martin goes out, sees the 6'8 Kempe. First shift. Knows the big fella wants to go. And it turned the tide for the Islanders. I just love the fact that a rookie kid goes in there and says, I want to keep staying here, so I'm going to call him a fight. And the veteran knows his job. I'm going to give up 5 inches and 40 pounds, and I'm going to go fight this kid. But I know that it's not the most glamorous part of the sport, but it's a sport that polices itself. It's a sport sport that gets momentum changed by what the players do on the ice. It's hardly ever mean-spirited. Usually the guys skate away from each other.
They sat there, they fought for, it was a good 2 minute fight.
It was a long scrap.
And you know, at some point they just looked at each other and said, you're done, yep, okay.
So now I ask you another question on the other side. The Devils are all same 4 points out. Do you buy or sell with that team as they're younger?
I'm a buyer because they're younger and they've got Hughes.
I'm a buyer because they have Hughes, and Hughes and the goalie are coming back, and they're going to be healthy again.
I'm a buyer too. I just think that when you have young talent like that, you don't need to try to get younger. The Islanders need to try to get younger.
Yep.
That's the problem. I mean, Horvat helps a little bit. Barzell's playing well. Dobson's kind of emerged. Romanov's a young guy. They got a couple of pieces there. Sorokin obviously can play goal most of the time. They just need a little bit more. But overall, I think the Islanders just blow too many leads, turn the puck over too often in their own zone.
Okay. All right. Do you want to do a power five? Kev?
Sure. I have a big shakeup from the last week. Number one, I've got Florida.
You stole my thunder.
Red hot. They've won 6 in a row, 9 of 10. They've overtaken Boston in that division. So I've got Florida 1. I've got the Rangers up to 2. Another red hot team. They've won 8 in a row. Number 3, even though they've lost 3 in a row, they've been the best team all year. I've got Vancouver still at 3. I'm going to drop Boston down to 4. And my 5th spot has been that Western Conference, and because Dallas has lost 3 in a row, I've got them down. I'm going to put Colorado in as 5. So it's Florida, Rangers, Vancouver, Boston, and Colorado.
All right, Darren?
I have Florida, Vancouver, Rangers, Boston, Colorado. So we just mixed up 2 and 3. Except Vancouver is the 2 just because they have the most points in the league. But yep. A lot of the same things. Florida's just been playing great. I had them in the top 5 last week and just moved them up. Goaltending's been outstanding with Bobrovsky and Stolarz. Rangers won 8 in a row. I mean, you know, can't argue with that. You know, Vancouver, like you said, Vancouver and Dallas both lost 3 in a row. Most of the teams out west are, you know, scuffling a little bit. Boston's been okay, even though they lost a couple. Carolina's the other team I was considering. That was a team that was coming on.
I have Vancouver still at 1. I have the Rangers up to 2 and Boston at the 3. I have Dallas at the 4. I know they struggled a couple of games lately. And I have Florida in the 5 at the moment.
Wow. Not different than me and Darren.
Yes, it is.
At least one of us disagrees and has some different opinion.
It's nice when that happens.
We only have one different team, by the way. So I have Dallas and you guys have Colorado. All right. What do you want to head over? A little baseball?
Sure.
All right. So apparently the Yankees have an offer out there from Blake Snell. He also has offers from the Angels and from San Francisco. We're waiting to find out. Mets signed a couple of designated hitters slash minor leaguers in Luke Voit and G-Man Choi. Arizona brought in Grichuk. San Francisco, apparently the Pandas trying to make a comeback. Pablo Sandoval. And Philadelphia brought in Whit Merrifield, and Toronto brought in Eduardo Escobar. Anything else, guys, on baseball?
Couple quick things. Major League Baseball is going to be making obstruction a major focus this year. That means a fielder has to move out of the way if he's not fielding a ball in any particular situation. So we're going to see a game decided because of an obstruction call of a guy running around second or third. But it is what it is.
Something else Angel Hernandez can screw up.
Absolutely. Anthony Rendon, you got to love this guy. Baseball is not a priority for me in the middle of a 7-year, $245 million contract.
Yeah,
he just doesn't love to play. good player, doesn't love to play. You know he's never going to fight to come off the IR. It's or IL, I should say. But it's embarrassing. Two last quick points. I just want to read you this guy's stat line. Wonder if you guys remember this player. This guy in his career played 105 games. He had 31 stolen bases, scored 33 runs, and never had an at bat.
Manny Alexander?
Nope. It's not a guy we know, but we've all seen this baseball card. Herb Washington.
Herb Washington, that's it. That's right.
Would he be someone you would pick up on your fantasy team just to steal a base? Would he be on that bench if you needed him? I'm just asking.
It would have to be a big bench.
It would have to be a large bench, but yeah. Somebody would pick him up in September if they needed to catch up on stolen bases. I'm just saying. And one last note, college baseball, real quick. Matt Masiangelo, who plays for Sacramento State, he was hit 8 times in 9 at-bats. A record.
I saw that, yeah.
Oh, wow.
In 9 at-bats, he got hit 8 times. He's a 22-year-old making his debut with Sacramento State, and he got plunked 8 times in 9 at-bats. Just thought that was an interesting little tidbit for us. That's all I got, guys.
The thing I saw as a Mets fan today reading the headlines, Mets pitcher Kodai Senga undergoing tests for arm fatigue.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Gotta love the beginning of opening the spring training and seeing – your ace.
You got to love the fact that you're saying he's the ace, because he is. But
he is. I'm not lying.
Last year, he was like the third or fourth starter. Now he's the ace.
Some things never change.
The Mets.
Any comments on the change to the college football playoff format? They're going to 5-7, 5 conference winners, and 7 wild cards.
It was 6-6 and they took out the Pac-12. It wasn't anything dramatic. Right. It's just too many teams in the playoff, in my opinion. They're already talking about going to 14.
So the top 4 conference champions are 1-4, right?
Yes.
So that means Notre Dame can never be in the top 4.
Correct.
It is Notre Dame, so they'll find a way to make it happen.
I mean, the only reason I bring them up is because it is Notre Dame. They bend the rules for them all the time, but. As of right now, they are ineligible to be in the top 4.
And what they're going to force is Notre Dame to join a conference.
That's what it is, yep.
From what I saw, Kev, though, I thought it was they wouldn't be able to get any one of the 5 conference winners. So they would never be 1-5. They could be higher than that, though. But, yeah, same point. I mean, it's pretty crazy with Notre Dame.
Yeah.
All right. Darren, got a little horse racing?
Yeah, well, just because we have the prep races coming up this weekend. Last weekend we had the Risen Star, okay, which is a big time race over at the fairgrounds. It's a grade one. Sierra Leone came from off the pace to win. Caught Track Phantom at the end. They were the 2 favorites, but they were lukewarm. One was 3-1. One was 7-2. For Chad Brown and Tyler Gaffney Leone, listen, that gives him 50 points and basically almost assures him of getting into the Derby. The one thing to note is that most of these races are 20-point races or 30-point races. That's a 50. So that's a big one right away, right off the top. Sierra Leone was purchased for like $2.3 million. They expected this horse to be something special, Gunrunner being the old man. The other one, this week we have the Rebel. It's a grade 2. Favorite is Timberlake. Might be a name you've heard. The only grade 1 winner in the field. He's 9-5 right now. Bet you he goes off probably closer to even money, maybe even 4-5. Christian Torres on the on board with Brad Cox as the trainer on this one. That will start getting hot and heavy, and we'll start seeing who is going to be the favorite over the next few weeks going into the first Saturday in May. Jake?
All right. Anything else, guys? Kind of tackled a little bit of everything tonight.
Well, Matsuyama had a monster final round at the Genesis to win that. So would you think golf should consider letting Tiger drive around in the cart so he could be in every single event? Because when Tiger's there, there's just a certain excitement. I don't think he'd ever accept it, by the way. I just think it's interesting.
But interesting thought, because it is Tiger. It's a Tiger rule. Like you said, I mean, the only reason I tuned into the Genesis at all was to see if Tiger would, especially Thursday, Friday. Hey, Tiger's playing. All right, let me check this out. Otherwise, you know, you're right. It's just another tournament Thursday, Friday. Who cares?
Maybe that's what they could call it, Kev, the Tiger Rule.
We had apparently, Jabba rules, Tiger rules.
But
Jordan rules.
Charlie's supposed to be in a pre-qualifier event to try to win a place in the PGA Tour's Cognizant Classic in Palm Beach Gardens next week.
Wow.
15 years old and trying to qualify for an event. And doing the right way, you know, trying to go through the qualifying tournament.
I love that. That's awesome.
Good for the kid.
Oh, absolutely. We all want Charlie to do well.
Yep.
All right. You guys have anything else?
That's all I got.
All right, boys, we're going to wrap this up. We're the
Sports Under an hour.
Under an hour, Kev, you're right. We're the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Kevin, here with Gino, talking about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. Talking about great, 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 great things like the NBA All-Star Game and Herb Washington. So, you know, please share our stuff. Download the podcast anywhere you can get a podcast, you know, whether it be an Apple product or Spotify or TuneIn or whatever. And, you know, like us on social media, share, follow us. Let everybody know about us and tell us what you want to hear. As Kev pointed out last week, if there's something you want us to talk more about, we will. I'll go 45 minutes on horse racing. I'll talk about a $4,000 claimer race at Penn National because I'm that stupid. But without any further ado, may your sports be with you.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.